Partner in 2007, Angelo R. Mozzillo of Countrywide Financial was paid $102.8 million, and even that pales into insignificance alongside the vast sums earned by some hedge fund managers. The veteran speculator George Soros made $2.9 billion. Meanwhile, nearly a billion people around the world struggle to get by on just a dollar a day. As it turned out, 2007 saw the start of the worst financial crisis the world has experienced since the Great Depression. In the space of a little more than a year, events occurred that made a mockery of the claim that the lavish compensation paid to financiers was justified by their exceptional skills, particularly in the realm of risk management. Are you angry that the world is so unfair? Baffled by the yawning chasm between the haves and have-nots? You are not alone. Throughout the history of Western civilization, there has been a recurrent hostility to finance and financiers, rooted in the idea that those who make their living from lending money are somehow parasitical on the real economic activities of agriculture and manufacturing. Despite our deeply rooted prejudices against filthy lucre, however, money is the root of most progress. To adapt a phrase from Jacob Bronowski, whose marvellous television history of scientific progress I watched avidly as a schoolboy, the ascent of money has been essential to the ascent of man, an indispensable factor in man's advance from wretched subsistence to the giddy heights of material prosperity that so many people know today. The evolution of credit and debt was as important as any technological innovation in the rise of civilization, from ancient Babylon to present-day Hong Kong. Banks and the bond market provided the material basis for the splendors of the Italian Renaissance. Corporate finance was the indispensable foundation of both the Dutch and British empires, just as the triumph of the United States in the 20th century was inseparable from advances in insurance, mortgage finance, and consumer credit. In 2006, $3.1 trillion changed hands every day on foreign exchange markets. Every month, $5.8 trillion changed hands on global stock markets. Every minute of every hour of every day of every week, someone, somewhere, was trading. And all the time, new financial life forms were evolving. Before the 1980s, leveraged buyouts, securitization, and derivatives were virtually unknown. New institutions, too, proliferated. The first hedge fund was set up in the 1940s, and as recently as 1990, there were just 610 of them. At the end of 2006, there were 9,462. Private equity partnerships also went forth and multiplied. Banks, meanwhile, set up a host of conduits and structured investment vehicles to keep potentially risky assets off their balance sheets. It was as if an entire shadow banking system had come into being. If the last four millennia had witnessed the ascent of man, the thinker, we now seem to be living through the ascent of man, the banker. By 2007, approximately $1 of every $13 paid to employees in the United States went to people working in finance. Finance had become even more important in Britain, where it accounted for 9.4% of gross domestic product in 2006. The financial sector had also become the most powerful magnet in the world for academic talent. Back in 1970, only around 5% of the men graduating from Harvard went into finance. By 1990, that figure had risen to 15%. By 2007, the proportion was even higher. At the time the class of 2007 graduated, it certainly seemed as if nothing could halt the rise and rise of global finance. Despite the destruction of the World Trade Center, the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, and a spike in extreme meteorological events, the period from late 2001 until mid-2007 was characterized by sustained financial expansion. Nor was the U.S. stock market's performance exceptional. In the 5 years to the 31st of July 2007, all but two of the world's equity markets delivered double-digit returns on an annualized basis. Emerging market bonds also rose strongly, and real estate markets, especially in the English-speaking world, saw remarkable capital appreciation. Whether they put their money into commodities, works of art, vintage wine, or exotic asset-backed securities, investors made money. How were these wonders